Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
The Claire Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
Now, in a policy shift by government, homeowners will be allowed to rent out modular homes on their property as part of the Rent-A-Room Relief Scheme. Whether it'll be able to address some of the symptoms of the housing crisis remains to be seen. Well, I'm joined now by Fine Gael's Barry Ward and Labour spokesperson for housing, Conor Sheehan, and you're both welcome to the programme. Conor, you're concerned about this. What's the problem?
Well, I'm concerned about this, Claire, because basically under the Rent-A-Room Scheme, and it's envisaged that if these units are allowed to be rented out, that the tenant would be treated as such under the Rent-A-Room Scheme, which means the tenant is treated as a licensee, which means you have fewer rights as opposed to a tenant who would come under the RTB, the curtilage of the RTB Act. So if you're a renter at the moment, particularly if you're a renter with a new tenancy, you have the 6 years security of tenure, but you won't have that if you are renting out one of these modular units under the Rent-A-Room Scheme. And the reason for that is because basically, if you were to rent out a modular unit at the rear of your property to me and then sell your house, if I came under the curtilage of the RTB Act, then
you'd have to be left there. But if
I would have to be left there and sold with your house,
but
essentially.
As it stands, you're out, you know, or you're probably out. But the Taoiseach, when he was asked about this yesterday, said that it's not going to make much sense to invest, say, up to 80,000 in a modular unit for your son or your daughter, knowing that they'll probably be gone. They'll have moved on in 2 or 3 years. But you might make that investment if you know that you can rent that to somebody else once your family member has moved out.
Well, the argument I would make is that some people would talk about investing up to 80,000, and they can invest up to 80,000, but not every landlord is actually going to do that. And we have seen examples over the years of substandard rental accommodation, modular type rental accommodation, garages, sheds, etc. We've all seen it on Daft. And I think that this is going to open the back door to poor quality, expensive units, okay, of which the rent will not now be capped, right, because they're going to raise the threshold.
Well, let's have a word with Barry Ward about this. That is the concern, isn't it, that you'll have tenants in the hen house. What do you say?
Well, the first thing is that all of them have to comply with ordinary building standards. So that's the first thing. They're not exempt from that. They are exempt from planning. And what this plan is really about is giving people autonomy over their gardens. And you have people in the country who have large gardens. There are conditions. So, for example, you have to still have 25 square meters of garden available. It has to be separate from the house. It must be the house in which you're living. So it's not the case that, for example, if you own a rental property, you can put one of these modular homes in the back garden and rent that out. So there are a number of conditions that come with it. But what Conor says is right. You would not be a tenant in the sense you would be if you rented an apartment or a house. You would have exactly the same status as somebody renting a room in a house under the Rent-A-Room Scheme, to which Conor is not opposed, as far as I know, and Labour is not opposed. So I don't see why they'd be opposed to this measure, which is just one of a whole suite of measures that John Cummins in particular has put in place to help us ease the housing crisis. And if it's something that suits the needs of a particular person for on a short-term basis or a medium-term basis, then is that not a good thing?
Mm-hmm. But Conor, just on that point, I mean, Labour isn't opposed, as far as I know either, to the Rent-A-Room Scheme. So why is this a problem? Because it's pretty much the same thing.
I'm not opposed to the Rent-A-Room Scheme, Claire, nor am I opposed to more flexibility when it comes to exempted development. And just in relation to that point, the revised exempted development guidelines have been delayed a number of times, and we do need to go through these in great detail at the Housing Committee in relation to what's exactly being proposed. My issue here is in relation to enforcement, because these units are going to be exempt from planning permission, so we're not. It's going to be quite difficult to pinpoint accurately where they are. And how we know that we have a balance in this country between the landlord and between the tenant. We have a fairly weak system of tenant rights. And how are you going to be able to enforce, number one, that these units are of a decent standard, and number two, that the landlord is actually, as Barry said, is the intention that the landlord would live in the house. I think this is absolutely rife for exploitation, in my view.
Okay, so who's going to do the inspections, Barry?
Well, you see, the point that Conor makes is equally true in relation to existing exemptions. So at the moment, if I have a house and I build a 40 square metre extension onto that house, which is exempt from planning permission, and I put somebody into that under the rental room scheme, exactly the same measures apply to that that apply to this. And yet nobody in Labour is complaining about enforcement of that. The reality is, if you breach this by building a structure in a back garden that doesn't comply with building regulations, it's the local authority that enforces that. If you do something that's in breach of planning permission, or if you do something that's in breach of this scheme, it's the local authority or whichever agency enforces it. There is enforcement there in exactly the same way there is at the moment.
Mm-hmm. It's more attractive, though, isn't it, to put a unit in the garden that's separate to the house.
It is.
As opposed to
building
on.
It may well suit people to do that. And that's why it's a good scheme. It allows the flexibility for people to use their gardens the way they want to, and allows the flexibility for people who might want to live in that kind of accommodation to do that if they want to. And there's any number of people who I deal with on a daily basis in my office who would love the availability of property like this in Dunleary, and it'll likely be less available in a place like Dunleary than it would be in a rural constituency, for example. But these are
because
schemes
the gardens
that
wouldn't be big enough. Is that why?
Exactly. That's exactly it. Yeah. Mm. So most houses wouldn't have a garden that would take a 45 meter square structure and a 25 meter square of garden that has to be provided as well.
And do you need a separate entrance as well?
Yes, you do. Yeah. So there's a number of conditions that come with it.
To the garden or to the unit.
Both, because it has to be separate from the building.
Mm-hmm.
The 45 meter square, it cannot be attached to the building, as I understand it, and there must be a separate entrance into the garden and then into the structure as well.
Yeah, but
Conor seems
again,
to think
see, who's that, going to, who's going yeah. to be checking all of this, you know?
But you could say the same thing about anything that's built onto the back of any house anywhere in Ireland. Mm-hmm. The reality is you're not allowed to do things in
breach
of the schemes.
Go on, Conor.
But if it is attached to the house, it's still subject to building standards and all the other rules and regulations that come with building anywhere.
But if it's attached to the house, it is a part of the house. If you're talking about a modular unit at the rear of the property, it's a separate physical entity, which you are now stating is going to be treated as though it were part of the house, which means that any potential tenant there is going to have a very weak system of protections because they won't come
that's
under
not
the
what
door
I'm saying
to be
at
out.
All. I'm drawing the comparison. Conor has no problem with the rental room scheme. It's been in operation for some time. It works very well. It provides accommodation for people who would not otherwise be in a position to maybe enter into a long-term lease or whatever it is. So if you're happy with the rent-a-room scheme, the comparison I'm drawing is this scheme works in exactly the same way. The only difference is the actual accommodation is not attached to the house. But Conor is now saying, well, if you put this scheme in place, suddenly wholesale people are going to start breaking the rules. And yet they haven't in relation to the rent-a-room scheme. And there's no real basis for believing they will. But if they do, it's not the case that they get away scot-free or that there's no agency to whom you can complain, like a local authority or whatever it is. That's still there. At the heart of this, what John Cummins did, and one of the reasons that this has been extended the way it has, is because the public consultation came back to say that John Cummins' idea that you would have autonomy over what happens in your garden in terms of planning has been hugely popular and hugely welcomed. And that's why it's been extended.
So, Conor, just to finish, this is what the people want, is what Barry's telling you.
Well, Claire, I think, and I said at the outset of the interview, that I welcome more flexibility around exempted development. But the issue I have here is that I believe that this could potentially be exploited. We have seen numerous examples over the years of substandard rental accommodation in sort of sheds, in converted garages. We saw an example that the Journal had recently in Dublin with an abuse of basically the licensee system. So, and we know that the level of local authority inspection is inadequate. How are local authorities going to be able to find these units? We won't have data as to where they are. And also, what we need to have a serious discussion here around the potential pressure that these could put on local water and sewage infrastructure. My concern with these units is that we're going to see these units being used to build up the shortfall in beds that's there under the new student accommodations strategy, because there is a target there for 4,000 rental rooms. And I know from talking to people who are living near enough to UCC in Cork that this is already an issue.
Okay. We'll need to leave it there. Conor Sheehan from Labour and Barry Ward from Fine Gael. Thank you both for being with us.
The Clare Byrne Show with Aviva Insurance. Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.